Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show. My name is Jansen Brooks, and today is Saturday, January 15th of the year 2022, and we have some very interesting guests today, everybody, and I won't take long. I'll just kind of let them introduce themselves. We'll start out with you, Joe. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Hi, as indicated, I'm Joe Debs. I'm here in Sacramento, California. My background, I've done several things. Sometimes people call me a politician, but I'm not a politician. I'm a community activist. I like to react and be proactive on things that happen in our community. Things happen to us and by people that make things happen to us. So I also work for an elected official now. I've been a public servant, I like to call myself as well, and I do. You know, I just like helping people, and I'm also paying attention to policy as it relates to people, especially as it relates to black people. So, and I'm a Christian man as well. You know, I believe in the higher power. And so that's who I am. I believe in the Lord Jesus. So I have to say that out loud. All right. And I said, he's a train conductor. So that's who I am.
Right. And Pionki, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, I'm retired. I spent over four decades erecting structural steel, office buildings, bridges. My own company was doing it. And like to travel, been all through Africa, Egypt, East Africa down to Ethiopia, West Africa. The wife is from Ghana, West Africa, my second wife. And I'm a Donald Trump supporter and a strict conservative when it comes to politics. And I like to teach people how to do investments, especially in stocks and options, but now cryptocurrency. A lot of money to be made. And Joe used to be an engineer. He used to work at one of my favorite hobbies. My enthusiasm was in trains, especially locomotives. So I kind of envy him for being able to get in there and pull that whistle. And you come to those crossings. I mean, it just sounds so awful. That just tears them up. Boy, I love to listen to that whistle.
Well, that's interesting. As far as the trains are concerned, though, Joe, I know you was telling me about they have different lines in Northwestern and Can you explain a little bit about that, the different tracks and the different...
Yeah, just in short, you know, they used to, now they have what they call the Big Four. And the Big Four, back in the day in the 1800s, they had the Big Four, too. It was Crocker, Stanford, some of the biggest. They started in California. They did a lot. They did all the tunnels and what have you. But the Big Four managed all the railroads. And there used to be like 100 railroads, but the big railroads just ate them all up. So the ones you see now are still the Big Four: Union Pacific, Burlington Northern, BNN. What's the Union Pacific, Burlington Northern, Kansas City, Southern, and there's one more. So they gobbled up all the railroads. And then you have one railroad passenger called Amtrak. And Amtrak is a national passenger. Every freight company used to have a famous passenger train, because back in the day, passenger train was the mode of transportation. It wasn't Greyhound bus. It wasn't cars. It wasn't airplanes. It was the choo-choo. So everybody used to ride the choo-choo all the time. All of the movie stars, your parents, used to ride the train, especially in the South. They was really famous, called the chicken bone, because every time you got on the train, you couldn't get in the front. You had to ride in the back, but everybody brought their lunch. And guess what it was? Chicken. Okay? And so and you stayed on that train for 3 or 4 days because they didn't allow you to ride. No black people could ride. There was no integration. You get thrown off the choo-choo if you tried to ride in the front. So it was Amtrak is the answer to public transportation, but it's turned into a political football, and it shouldn't be. But one quick thing, all of the railroads put a passenger name and put them all together. Like in California, we had the Coast Starlight, and we had the City of San Francisco, one from Southern Pacific, one from Union Pacific, and all of those trains put together, and they called them Amtrak. They didn't say it's Southern Pacific, it's this, it's that. Everything, all of the passenger trains together, they came up with a name called Amtrak. So every freight company has a representation in the passenger industry called Amtrak. Unfortunately, freights don't like passengers. They delay them all the time. They make sure they fail. So a lot of people don't ride the choo-choo no more. Hopefully we'll get back to it. It's a nice way to ride. It really is. So in short, that's what it is. And then offline, maybe we can have a conversation, man. We can talk about the choo-choo, and I can – maybe get some stuff to you or make sure you access if you really like the train. I don't know if you collect.
No, I don't collect them. I study them. You know, you made mention about the Big Four. I used to know all their names, Granville, Dodge, and the ones that you made mention of. That was during the times of the Transcontinental Railroad. That was a hell of a project. At that time.
Yeah, well, you're right. Well, Dodge and those guys are more, well, they're, a lot of them were steel barons and also in the automotive industry, but they tried to put their money, but the Big Four was, like I said, Stanford, and the Transcontinental Railroad, you're right, was the biggest from coast to coast. It was, it linked the East Coast to the West Coast.
And what was that? You had the Union Pacific. You had one started from Nebraska, I think it was. Then you had the other one start from out there in California.
Yeah, and, Central Pacific.
Central Pacific in California?
Yeah, well, Central Pacific came across from your way. You had the Central Pacific, and then you had the Denver Rio Grande, and they had a race. And
yeah,
they connected. They had to come over the Sierras through all of those tunnels. That's when the Chinese
at the what was that, Summit Pass? I can't think of the name of that. But they had the Chinese. They were the ones that cut those tunnels because they were used to doing that.
Yeah, they came over Donner Pass. We call it Donner Pass.
Donner Pass. There you go. Absolutely, Donner Pass.
Yeah.
They call
Chinese
Donner Pass. because them settlers came across there and got lost, and they ended up having to turn to cannibalism in order to survive.
Yeah, well, that was called the Donner Party. They came over the pass, but the railroads blew holes in the mountain and made a big old tunnel that came through the pass. But those settlers was another kind of thing. They tried to come over when the snows fell, and they were right from Truckee. They were only like a mile from the nearest town, and they couldn't find it. They were lost in the snow, and they perished. It was one of the first documented incidents that America don't like to talk about, and it's called cannibalism. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the first documented cases of cannibalism. Because they ate the horses, they ate the leather, they ate the tree bark, then they started eating themselves. And so it was, you're right, that's a part of really interesting. You know,
that's where they started using nitroglycerin, too.
Well, yeah, they used a lot of dynamite and nitro. They lost
and nitro.
Lives.
Yeah, they lost a lot of people. That nitro was something else, man. Them Chinese was kind of scared of it there for a while, but
they got it done. It was suicide. They sent them up, and they knew that stuff was going to kill them every time they went up. And then black folks, they don't talk about us. We did a lot, especially in the South. We were all of the manpower. The mules and black folk lifted that heavy rail. So the Civil War, we're the ones who built the railroad. Then on board, we're the ones who took care of everybody. We were the porters. They used to call us porters. Now they call train attendants. And they call us sleeping car porters. Yeah, porters. Not porters, porters.
Okay.
So we were the porters, and we did all of that, and we're the ones that made it really successful. We cooked the food, we waited on people, and guess what? Right till today, I've been on private trains. I'm talking about multimillionaire trains right now that they have. Most of those trains look better than all of our houses put together inside. You should see the inside of a passenger train. They look better than I've been on one, had my own bedroom, had my name on my door, and had my brothers waiting on me. They didn't know that we were real close. You know, we used to drink out of the same bottle, spend the last same money. But I was kind of like they always had a couple of black folks who was part of the mix. And I was just so fortunate to be able to be involved because I was a union guy. And so I've ridden a lot with the famous, good, the bad, and the ugly. And those trains are still nice, luxurious inside right to this day. I'm talking about private trains.
Yeah.
And guess who they have cooking the food?
They still got black chefs in them.
Oh, yeah. Well, we the only one that knows how to cook and really cook good. Not that everybody can cook. That's not true. But the ambiance and the skills that we brought to food, nobody could match it. Today on the train, the best kept secret, you don't see black porters anymore. You see Chinese porters. You see Filipino porters. You see white porters. They done got rid of the black porters because the brothers in Chicago, they lived and sent their kids to college. It was the best kept secret that they were a porter on the train because they lived off of tips and a small salary. But they never told anybody until the 90s, the 80s and the 90s, pretty soon it turned into a color thing, and they start getting rid of all of the black folks, and they start hiring everybody but us. So they start firing us and hiring everybody else, but the service went down because of that. But now you don't see too many black folks serving as porters. You still see some of them, but you don't see a lot. But we're the ones who really made passenger trains what it is today. I've seen Whoopi Goldberg on there. I've seen John Madden ride the choo-choo.
John Madden was scared to fly, so he was going to ride the train.
Yeah, that's true. He's out of Oakland Raiders. When he was on the Oakland Raiders, he'd get on the choo-choo, and he'd ride to Denver, and then he'd get in a car or on a bus, and he'd go to the East Coast. Yeah. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
He didn't like flying. So I've had a good career. I've seen some things you wouldn't believe. And as a black man, and I'm really proud of it, not many people have experienced what I've experienced and then some of the things that I've done by meeting the presidents of the railroad. I just kind of, I don't know, I was just fortunate, and they liked me. And I didn't become a railroad administrator on purpose because they treat people really bad. That's what they do. They like treating the staff bad. And they've always discriminated against us, but somehow we kept our head above board. What's the black man's name for the porters? His name was
George.
Yeah, A. Philip Randolph. Yeah.
Oh, well, he was a union. Randolph. He was the union head. He also was there. Matter of fact, he was going to stage a march on Washington years before the one that King and them staged.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, yeah. No, A. Philip Randolph is the one that kept us, protected us, because that was the only union. And we had a person called my namesake, Eugene B. Debs. My last name is Debs, but his name is Debs with a B, one B. My name is Debs with two Bs. But he was also an activist, a union, a labor activist, but he was a socialist. But he fought all of the disparities and the racism and what have you in labor, especially when it came to the train thing. So he and A. Philip Randolph, they didn't hook up a lot because it was a time thing, but he still fought the racism. And anybody who associated with anyone outside of the Democrat or Republican, in those days there was only two parties, they frowned on you. So like Martin Luther King, he called out the Vietnam War. They called him a communist, a socialist, everything. So, but in those days, A. Philip Randolph was really a godsend for the train employees, because he was all we had.
Their reporter was called George back in them days.
Who?
A reporter, they would call him, "Hey George, hey George." Remember that?
Hey George. You
yeah,
say the reporter.
Porter. Oh, you call them porters,
yeah,
but.
Yeah, porters. Yeah. They didn't call you George. They call you, if you wasn't George, you was "Hey nigga." All right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Sure. I know we got a program to do. Just one short story. They had some porters who worked in what we call the dining car and the lounge car, and that's where you drink. And you could see outside. They had big windows in it up top and down low. And some of the railroads had the round end of the railroad. You could see out the back. In those days, you had to do what we call flag, because they had trains accidents all the time, head-on collisions and rear end. So when you see a light coming behind you, you have to get out and flag. You do a flare, you take a red flare, and you get out and you light it, and you put it on the ground so that train could see you from behind, because you could see a flare for miles, for at least a mile or 2 miles. These white boys were drinking. They were military. They were drinking. They were army. And the brothers, the porters came back and said, "Would you gentlemen mind moving up to the front?" And the military dudes, one of them, a colonel, said, "I don't like no niggas telling me what to do. I ain't moving. You don't tell me where I can sit." He said, "Sir, please move up." He repeated, "There can't no niggas tell me what to do." All of the other people and the black folk, they looked at him and all the brothers, and they said, "Okay." Everybody quietly moved. They stayed back there. 45 minutes later, they were all dead, because that train got closer, and he kept telling them, "See that light?" And they kept telling him, "You can't tell me what to do. I don't care about a light. Niggas can't tell me what to do." He called them niggas. The brother said, "Okay, George, okay, you're right." And they called him some, one of the dude's name, I'm going to get the book, might be George. When we get off here, I'm going to get your address.
Yeah, they did a movie on it called 10,000 Men Named George. Mm-hmm.
Well, to make a long story short, they all lost their lives because they didn't like a black man telling them what to do. And they listened to this one racist white boy. And when they finished, when the smoke cleared, that freight train had ran into the end of that passenger train, killed them all. Now, George, the brother was telling him, you think George got killed? Heck no. George was sitting in the front on the ground telling him, I tried to get him out. Why come you didn't get him out? Because they didn't like niggas telling them what to do. So they left this earth not wanting niggas to tell them what to do. They didn't want George to tell them what to do. But I got a book. When we get up here, I will send you some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe you can start a collection. If you like choo-choo, start collecting. Start getting you some apparatus, some books and stuff. I'll give you some stuff. I'll send you some stuff.
Yeah, that was a hell of a time.
Okay, Jensen, yes, you can have your show back.
Yeah, gentlemen, let me say this, and I know you two gentlemen are on fairly different sides of the spectrum in terms of some of your politics. And I want to discuss and hear both y'all's, point of view on the voting rights situation that's going on right now. All the different aspects of voting and voting rights. Let's see. I'll start out with Joe. If you can give me your take on it, what's going on right now. And then, Pianchi, if you can give me your take on what's going on right now.
Well, just simply, when you say voting rights, and I'll stay right there, policy in this country has reverted back. We've come full circle. We're back in the 60s, okay? And no one refutes that. Now, some people talk about it, some don't. The ones that don't is the one that's bringing it back to the 60s. Because our voting rights, because we used to be criticized so bad for not voting, and we didn't vote because no one believed in voting. They said voting was rigged, and that was a big argument. So a lot of black people just didn't vote. In the South, if you voted, you would lose your life, okay? And we knew that with Cheney, Goodman, and Schwerner, because voting, and then you had to take a test to vote. And people don't understand that, black and white. Back in the day, you had to take a litmus test. You know, they would put they'd get a big bowl, and they would put jelly beans in it, and you had to count those jelly beans. And if you couldn't tell them how many jelly beans were in there, that means your intelligence level was low. You couldn't vote. I mean, they did silly stuff like that. We know it, but to prevent us from voting. We've come back in a big circle, and we're back where we started from. Voting now is like it was then. You can't vote. They're trying to prevent us from voting because voting does work. They found out voting worked because they elected a black president. That was a shot heard around the world. That was like Armageddon to a lot of people. Okay? And I heard, voting rights and policy is back where it used to be. Can nobody refute that? It's a shame. Whether we Democrats or Republicans or Republicans or I call them Demo-Republicans, okay? No one can refute that this country is going backwards again. One thing that Trump did, and he said it, he did make America hate again, okay? His job, he said he wanted to make America great again. He meant he wants to make America hate again because he did a good job. We're right back where we started. They're putting up roadblocks, fences. We can't vote like we used to anymore. It's terrible. And even white people are complaining about it. This ain't no black and white issue. This is America. Democracy, one of the strands of democracy have been cut, and you saw it January 6th. Democracy is beginning on its way out. And a lot of the staunch people, especially white people, democracy is outdated. We're getting ready to see this whole country change. And one day I heard somebody say it the other morning. They said, we're going to wake up one morning and listen to trucks rambling and in, and it might not be Americans driving these trucks when we look up one of these days. So people can talk about all they want to, but they You know, every time they made a mistake. Same thing with Pearl Harbor. They said it couldn't be done. Okay, and you looked up one day, and they could have captured the whole West Coast, but they didn't, because Americans, especially the people in policy, are very stubborn, and racism ain't going to be gone in your lifetime. You'll never see it gone. It'll never leave. But democracy has been threatened, and it's scary, and a lot of people know that. So I'm afraid that the policies of this country is beginning to dissipate, and democracy is slowly creeping up out of here. And one day you might still be able to see it. I don't know what everybody's age is, but you at least saw the beginning of democracy being threatened. Who could go to the White House and do what they did to the state capitol, rather, and do what they did and get away with it? That only happens out of this country. That's in the Ukraine, and that's in Russia, and that's in China. Never happened in America. It's scary, and people know it's scary too. They don't like to talk about it, but I tell you what, we better wake up. I ain't got time to be talking about I'm a Trumpster and I'm a Obamas and I'm a Biden, I'm this, I'm that. Now I'm worried because party politics, both sides, might as well going up the street. I don't care what people say. I call them Demorublicans. Democrats and Republicans, they tell the same jokes. They sleep with the same women. When nighttime comes, they drink the same alcohol. They tell the same jokes. They sleep with the same women. They laugh. When the sun comes up in the morning, they get on their sides, and they throw rocks with each other, and they talk heads. When the sun go down, they go back to shaking hands. Hey, George. Okay. Hey, George. Hey, John. So my point is, we can be devoted to one party, or we can start talking about the policy, but don't get fooled. Don't get tricked, because when the end comes, we're all going to be going down the same old hole. The end.
All right. Thank you, Joe. And Pianchi, your take on the voting rights and what's going on in voting today.
Well, that John Lewis voting rights bill is a fraud. And I get sick and tired of hearing names like his and Elijah Cummings drawn out at black people, in particular, as if blacks are all the same, which they're not. I understand what went on during back in those times. But, you know, all blacks didn't experience that. You know, up north, we never did have any problem voting. Matter of fact, they used to try to chase us to the poll because people, you know, was using their liberty to do so or not. The 1965 Voting Rights Act had nothing to do about voting. It was about registration. And technically it only applied to about six states. I think it was Alabama, even Alaska, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, of course, South Carolina, Virginia. But those states and some counties, which even went out to Hawaii and even New York, they was under the auspices of the Department of Justice. And if they ever wanted to make any changes to a voting pattern, like a poll in a place where you had to go, they had to get pre-clearance from the Department of Justice. Well, in the most recent case on that, in the Roberts Court, he looked at that and said, well, these counties is majority black now. You've got black officials. So why you want to keep these counties under that pre-clearance rule? And that's why they struck it down, Section 4 of the either Section 4 or Section 5, I think it was Section 4 of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. You read John Lewis's bill, don't mention anything about African Americans. It mentioned Indians in the end. And Native Americans, Indians, that is, are sovereign people in this country. So it's just a farce. And then they want illegals to vote. You got New York that wants illegals to vote in local elections. You got in California, I think you got some other things like that going on. You give illegals driver's license. So I think that there is deplorable. But at a state level and at a local level, you can do whatever you want to. ever you want to, because the Constitution gives states the right to run their own elections. Of course, as long as you don't violate the civil rights of someone who wants to vote. And I think that's the way it should be. If you read John Lewis's bill, this started to infringe on the state's ability to carry out their own elections. Even at voters reform in the state of Georgia, it didn't do anything to keep people from not voting. Joe Biden is from Delaware. They don't even have early voting in Delaware. I don't understand it. As far as having ballot boxes on the corners in liquor stores and taverns, if they want to do that on a state level, go ahead and do it. I think that the federal ballot should be separate from state ballots. When it comes time to voting for the vice president, the congressperson, and the U.S. senator, that should be a separate ballot. They should have their own rules set up for vetting, similar to like getting a passport or using the iris in your eyes to identify a person. I think that the ballots should be handled different. They shouldn't be connected to no electronic machines or any other apparatus that's produced by some foreign company. I think it should be basically like it used to be, the old tabs that you punch with a needle-like device. So that's my position there on as far as voting is concerned.
Can I ask you a question? I'd like to ask you a question. That's Keontae, right?
Yes, sir.
Keontae, where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Missouri.
In Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
St. Louis
where
area.
Okay. You're close enough to it. You familiar with what they call the Mason-Dixon line?
Yes, I know about the Mason-Dixon line.
What side of the Mason-Dixon line were you on?
Well, I would be, see, right there at Kansas City. You know, you got Kansas City, Missouri, and you got across the river, you got Kansas City, but I would have been on the east side. St. Louis, by the way, has been Democratic for 72 years, since 1949.
You ever been to East St. Louis?
Sure have.
Okay.
It's been Democrat forever, too. It looks terrible.
So let me say,
St. Louis
looks terrible
now.
Yeah, it's been poor.
The schools are terrible in them Democratic areas. I wouldn't allow my kids to go to them schools.
That's all areas. That ain't no Democrat areas. That's another thing. That's another trick that's been played. This country's schools have gone down in Republicans, D-Republicans, in every area. So it ain't Democratic. Don't get pulled into that trick. It's all.
Well, you know why? Because I used to be a field coordinator for African Center Curriculum for the St. Louis chapter of National Black United Front. I know those things very, very well. National Black United Front started off in Washington, D.C. back in 1972 at the old Armory. And blacks used to try to get African-centered curriculum in public schools. You know who didn't want that? Blacks didn't want that themselves. So those school districts are ran by the National Educational Association, the American Federation of Teachers. They influence your politicians, especially at the state level, and they don't want what's called school choice with vouchers, where poor parents can have the ability to put their child in the educational environment that they feel best for their long-term plans, and that money will follow the child. That's what it should be. Get away from them government schools.
Now, let's stick to the agenda. I don't want to get off on no tangent about school. This is a conversation for another time, education. This is a different thing. I want to stick to the voting rights. I wanted to know where you were raised up at, because obviously you were raised on the right side of the Mason-Dixon line. You didn't come out of the Deep South, and I could tell.
I recognize that you had those problems down south. I'm not denying those.
How old are you? Can I ask how old you are?
I'm old enough to know better.
You got to be over 60 then. Just from listening, I'm old enough to know better. Yeah, you got to be over 65, 60 easy. So, because I'm listening to you talk, and again, you're on the safe side of the Mason-Dixon line. So good for you.
I had family that lived in Bessemer, Alabama.
I know, but that wasn't you. Your family, let me tell you something. I can tie you up right now, put a blindfold on you, and turn you around in a circle and drive you and let you out and take the blindfold off you and push you down the street, and you'll be hung before you could tell them that you are a Republican. You understand? So there's some places you still can't go.
You know, I don't believe that. I don't believe that because I've been in the South. Yeah. And see, here's the thing. Here's the thing before you go anymore. Hang on for a second. See, you got to realize all blacks are not the same.
All nobody is the same, man.
No, you're absolutely right. But what gets me is people is saying that blacks won't be able to vote. Well, that's a damn – that's right at the – well, why come you liberals always want to over-talk somebody?
There's too many dead black people for you to be making those kind of statements. You still
no,
alive.
It's not. What were they black about? I didn't have no. Didn't have no problem voting.
You ain't never marched. You ain't never demonstrated.
We didn't march and demonstrate. We didn't have to do that where we came from.
You just didn't do it. Yes, you did. Yes,
no,
you
we
did.
Did
you
not. Now
how
you? Now you gonna tell me what I'd experienced?
Yeah, I got where you came from. I can tell what you have and what you haven't experienced.
No, you cannot tell me what I have and what I don't have.
No, I ain't telling you what you don't have. I can tell you what you have. Okay, I can hear you talking about federal John Lewis. What are you talking about? States' rights.
Like I told you, John Lewis's bill, here's the point. If you had that problem, John Lewis, in the 5th Congressional District in Georgia, then make the changes there. Don't do a federal bill that affects everybody who's not having that problem. It's the same way with that Sheila Jackson Lee. It's the same way with that Sheila Jackson Lee there in the 4th District in Texas, Congressional District. You got people there that's killing everybody and everything else. So she want to have gun control, and she want to
do
it federally where it affects everybody. No, do it where it affects you.
Do you know any white people you don't like? Do you know any white people you don't like? Because I know you don't like black people.
You know,
people
I told you. Did I tell you in the beginning? I told you in the beginning. You know, listen,
do
I'm going to leave this because all
you
do is what you're doing. What you're doing is trying to. You don't ask that four goddamn times.
Do you know any bad damn white people?
No, I don't know no.
Do you know any white people? Do you know any bad white people? Do you know any bad white people? You know all bad white people.
Say it 10 more times. We'll make the time go by.
Lord, have mercy. Where are you from?
I don't believe in the Lord.
I know you. Yeah. Now, see, I already know then. But talking to you, if you don't believe in the Lord, well, I get that.
Well, you know, your Lord is a white man religion. Now, what you saying about that?
Because Donald Trump is your Lord. I get it.
No, he's not. He's a politician.
Donald Trump is your Lord. Donald Trump is your Lord. I get it.
I voted for Barack Obama in 2008.
I can excuse people that have ignorance because they don't know any better, but intentional ignorance is what hurts people.
I excuse you for having stupidity. That's what you're showing.
Intentional ignorance is what's bad with everybody.
Gentlemen,
I forgive you for having the stupidity that you. I keep telling
you.
You
don't believe in
all
God.
All blacks are not the same.
You don't have to forgive me. You don't believe in God. You can't forgive me. Trump is your God. And then you talk about the federal government.
Well,
who
is your God? Here we go talking that crazy mess. I guess Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson Farrakhan is your God.
Do you know any white people you don't like?
Didn't I tell you I put up structural steel buildings and bridges. Majority of my workforce is white males. It was something that wasn't worth a damn.
What are you talking about? You done went from Al Sharpton to building bridges. Man.
That's what I done for a living. That was my business.
He's got to be over 70 years old. Ain't that... Ain't no young
you know those buildings that fell down in New York? in 9/11. I put buildings up. My company put buildings like that up.
I believe it. They fell down. I believe it. They all
fell down because of a reason.
I believe.
Now you're trying to be insulted.
Yeah. You already
gentlemen, excuse me for just a second, gentlemen. I knew you guys was on different sides of the spectrum, but I was hoping to keep everything, you know, at an even keel. But
I'm trying to have a conversation, Jensen. This guy right here is trying to put words in my mouth and insulting me. That's the way they
do. Now you insulted. You done talked ahead about everybody. Now you insulted.
I haven't talked about anything. You gave your position on the Voters' Rights Act.
I ain't
going to get it. Then Jensen asked me about mine. And I told
you. You got off the beaten path. Yeah. You didn't do nothing. You ain't said nothing. I get it. Lord have mercy. Where do you come from?
Jensen, you the moderator of the show. You ask the questions. Go ahead and ask another question.
Hey, Jensen,
okay.
Let me comment about states' rights.
I've been trying to get in a word edgewise, gentlemen.
I'm not talking, Vincent. Go ahead and ask your question. You the moderator of the show.
He ain't talking.
Okay, thank you, sir. I can tell by one thing that Joe, you said, and I hadn't really thought about it a lot, is what side of the Mason-Dixon line was a person from, you know? So was Missouri at the Mason-Dixon line? Is that one side was free and one side was not free? And so that might play into
Missouri
your
was a safe slave. Missouri participated in the slave trade, but I guess my point is it depends on wherever you come from. Even back in the day, even they crossed the Mason-Dixon line just to come get people. They went to Canada. I mean, they kept moving the line where you could go get free slaves. So it really don't make no difference. I just wanted to know where people are from, because I could tell by their experiences or where they come what kind of things they have experienced. You can always tell that. And when I heard states' rights, you know, I heard them talk about states' rights. Whenever I hear the word states' rights, my red flag goes up, because if each state was allowed to do what they wanted to do, we'd be in trouble. That's why the federal level is where is the overseer, is the granddaddy of making sure that states don't go off the planet, because many states are going off the planet right now. So that's why we have federal intervention, okay? And you're right. One thing that he said, I think voting, everything should be standard around this country. All voting policies should be standard. In other words, you can't require one state to have IDs and pictures and your birth certificate and everything that you need. That needs to be a standard for California, for Missouri, for Alabama, for everybody. Because if you leave it up to the states, would be in trouble. That's what's going on now. The states are changing all the rules. It's the states that are doing this, and they're doing it on the local level through your local legislators. So it's dangerous now because the states have caught on. Let's do it ourselves, and that's what they're doing. That's why we're dismantling voting rights. The states are dismantling the voters' rights. It's not the feds. It's the states.
Yeah, let me say this. This is something that maybe
you want to ask me that question, Jensen?
It was something that crossed my mind earlier, and it's amazing to me that a lot of people still think that Trump won the election after all the court cases and all the recounting. I think one state counted three times, and he still didn't win. So it amazes me that so many people believe in that particular scenario.
Let me make a comment on that. You talk about the courts. The courts. Pardon me.
Yeah, the courts all ruled against all these lawsuits and everything. And even,
do you know why?
Bill Barr, which the Attorney General said it was a fair election, and he was the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but do you know why the courts ruled? You know why come the courts wouldn't hear the lawsuit that Texas put forth, Texas and some other states?
Yeah, I would be interested in what you had to say about that.
Well, I thought you would know that already. The Constitution say when you have controversies between states, that's got to be settled amongst the states. The state legislature. It's up to the people to make the state legislature do what they're supposed to do.
But do you
not the courts.
Within the purview of the law.
It's the Constitution. That is the supreme law.
Within the purview of the law.
My question was your take on why so many people don't believe that.
It's because of the controversy between those states, Jensen. It's a controversy that's between the states that has had to do with the balance in those states, which should have been worked out with the legislatures of the states. And actually, the states wouldn't do what they're supposed to, the state legislatures, and the people today is ignorant, don't have enough sense to know that you control the state legislatures.
Right, right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Jensen, you know what's really, what's complexing about all of this where Trump was, the votes were legal with Trump and he didn't get all the votes. You know what's really funny about that is that the Republicans who won their seats in the same election, the Republicans who won seats in Congress and in the Senate, they all say fine. The ones who lost, like Trump, is the one that's saying that something's wrong. So many of the Republicans are saying, don't you dare mess with these results. Because if you mess with these results, you got to go back and count their ballots too, all right? So many of them will lose their seats. So this same election process used around the country was used win, lose, or draw. So many Republicans are saying, don't you dare listen to Trump, because we'll lose our seats. Because they won with this same process. So they ain't gonna, they only hone in on Trump, but they're not going to talk about any of the other races. Because if you talk about some of the other races, they all got to go back. So they're not going to do that. Trump is just, notice all Republicans have the same talking points. Notice that when you listen to them. They've given a paper, and this is what you're supposed to talk about. And they do. They're good at it.
Well, can I have a chance to comment on that?
Go ahead.
I'll keep it very short.
Uh-oh.
All election ballots are not the same around the country. You got some areas that have discrepancy with the absentee ballots and voting by mail. Then, like you got New York that allow illegals to vote locally and statewide. If you got a federal candidate on a local ballot like New York, well, the people that's coming there and that's illegal, quite naturally, they're going to be checking off on the federal candidates, which they're not supposed to be doing.
I don't know too much.
They voted Republican. Hey, Jensen, a lot of them voted Republican. That's what's so cold.
Well, we don't care. You know, here's the thing. It doesn't matter who. This could have been going back to the time of John F. Kennedy. It doesn't make no difference. We want the elections to be fair and transparent.
And standard. We want them standard. Everybody
no,
should go
that,
by the
well,
same.
The only standard that can be is at the federal level. Read the Constitution, Article 1, Section 4.
Yes. Me and you agree. Me and you agree on something. We finally agreed on something. You just said all the standards should be made at the federal level. We just agreed on something. That's one thing we just agreed upon. Right there. We agreed up on it. That's what I've been saying. Yes. Yes, I agree with you. Federal, we should have a standard come from the top. Absolutely.
Well, it only can apply to the federal ballot, not the state ballot.
We got a little time left. I know we had some controversy a while back about the statues, Confederate statues. A lot of them got torn down. Joe, what's your take on that? After the George Floyd situation, we had a lot of Confederate statues come down, particularly in the South. And I would just like to know you guys' perspective on that. Should they have kept them up?
I'm totally against the taking down. People in cities and location do what they want to. I would be against the removing of American soldiers' statue that fought in the American wars.
Oh, okay. He was Stonewall Jackson.
He was an American soldier that fought in American wars. They didn't just fought in the Civil War. They fought in the Mexican-American War. They fought in the Spanish-American War. They fought in American wars.
Oh, okay. So you're just, what about you, Joe?
Well, if they were legitimate, again, the Civil War was two sides. You had the Confederacy, then you had the United States troops, all right? So the Confederacy broke off from the United States. They weren't part of the United States. They were called rebels. That's what they were. And that's because they didn't want the same policies. They wanted slavery. They wanted all of the things that went against humanity. Okay, so to put them up, and I get it, because guess what? The Jews in this country won't let you put Adolf Hitler up. I bet you that. Okay? And I bet you they won't let you, the Iranians won't let you go put the Iran in Mohammed and none of those other people up in this country. I bet you that. So all the persecuted people in this country will not allow you to celebrate their persecution but the South. Okay? That's the only time anybody ever raises any cane is when it's a Confederate so-called hero that doesn't kill black folks. But I guess I'll tell you what. The first thing you do is go try to put up something of Adolf Hitler or Mandela and see what happens.
Well, you know, on that same issue, black slaves that came here was not unused to slavery. Where they came from, matter of fact, they was expelled, a lot of them, from where they came from, ran out. African tribes got rid of their riffraff. And blacks in America had black plantation owners in the United States. Matter of fact, you had black plantation owners that received 50 acres of land for every white settler that they sponsored to the United States. One man by the name of Johnson, he received over 900 acres. In Louisiana, 28% of the free blacks had slaves. 80% of them were women, mulatto women. And in the Civil War, you had over 300,000 men, white men, women, and boys, not women, white men and boys that lost their lives trying to free blacks. They don't want to reserve reparations. Over 300,000 of them.
What? What did he say, Jensen?
Go ahead and repeat it, Jensen.
You had over 300,000 white boys and men as young as 12 that fought on the Confederate side. Of course, you had blacks that fought on the Confederate side. You had blacks. You had Iroquois Indians. You had Mexicans. You had Jews that fought on the Confederate side because it was to their interest.
Again,
I say go out there and statues.
Well, hell, they took down Martin Luther King in Kansas City, Missouri. They took his name down off of the Truce Boulevard and put Truce Boulevard back up. The people in the city voted, which is black and white.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, so I guess you have two different sides to everything. But, gentlemen,
yeah, they talk that stuff. You know, the funny thing about, and I'm beginning to believe
Jensen,
it.
Let me say something.
I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Joe. To celebrate
talking about 300,000 white men and all that mess. Man, Jensen, I know we don't know our history, and I know, but sometimes if we don't know something, we need to just be quiet and just leave no doubt that we don't know what
you
we're
had,
talking about.
You
sometimes,
had close to 600,000 men, people, lose their lives in the Civil War. You had more Union soldiers lose their lives fighting to free blacks. White males. Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation could only free those slaves that had came over to the Union line. They was called contraband. He had no control over states that seceded. Nor did he have control amongst the Indian tribes. Indians said, we ain't releasing our property unless you paid for it. The United States paid Indian tribes, especially like the Choctaw. Choctaw received their final payments in 1952.
I'm not going to even talk about no Indians and all that mess. I'm just talking about.
I don't blame you.
Again, go and get you a statue and put it up of a white boy and then go march. Let me see you go and find your hero. Find your biggest white hero.
What am I going to march for? Y'all been marching enough and still complaining. What am I going to march for?
No, you ain't going. You never march. I get that.
You damn right I didn't. My parents wouldn't have me out there acting a damn fool.
You probably would.
And when you gonna march with the 324,000 black males that don't killed other black males in 35 years?
First of all,
when you gonna
march?
Hang on. When you gonna march for Chicago in the last 220 days? You done had 3,342 blacks shot by other blacks in Chicago. I say again, 3,342 shot by other blacks as of January 6th. No white police officer shot nobody.
You don't want from the civil rights to marching to a Choctaw to, I mean, dang.
And 440 murders. 440 murders. Ain't no white police officer shot nobody.
Lord have mercy. Where's he from? Ain't no white people out, man. Where are you from? Yeah,
As I said before, in Chicago, and no, he mentioned Philadelphia and St. Louis. The whites ain't killing no blacks. Blacks killing themselves. You deny that?
That's the easiest argument. We know blacks killing themselves.
It wouldn't be an argument if it didn't exist. I know how they tore up St. Louis.
So what is your point?
Talking about Mike Brown. You know Mike Brown out there in Ferguson, Missouri. You know blacks fled North St. Louis to go to Ferguson to get away from the crime. Then all of a sudden your politician, your Democratic politician, steer them out there into Ferguson, and you have all kind of blacks fled Ferguson again. They fled Ferguson across the Missouri River into St. Charles County. St. Charles County is 95% white and all the police white. So apparently it must not be white police and white folks that blacks was fleeing.
What is your point? What is his point?
Didn't you understand what I said? Let me tell it to you, Reese. Let me say it real slow again. Blacks in Ferguson. Blacks in Ferguson. It wasn't none in Ferguson. Keep saying it. I say what I say. We just go the rest of the week saying this.
Do you know any bad white people?
It wasn't none in Ferguson.
Do you know any bad white people?
Is this a record? It wasn't none in Ferguson.
Where are you from? Where is he? He couldn't be.
Blacks made up 67% of the population in Ferguson. They could have changed the police department anytime they
got
ready.
What has Ferguson got to do with voting rights? What's Ferguson? You done went from slavery to you done went from statutes to you all over.
Let me tell you about the voting in Ferguson.
Here we go again. Lord, here we go.
Let me
again.
Tell you about the voting in
Man,
Ferguson.
Man, we already know about
Mike
Ferguson.
Brown's mother, Mike Brown's mother, Leslie McFadden, ran for a position on the city council.
Okay.
Blacks didn't vote her in.
I'm not from Ferguson. We ain't from
Gentlemen,
Ferguson.
I'm not from
Georgia neither, so John Lewis can keep his mess in Georgia.
I don't know about nothing you talking about. So don't even talk about Ferguson and Mike Brown and all.
Apparently you don't. And I don't know nothing about what you talking about neither. Don't be telling me about
no
Cheney and Goodman.
No, you don't.
I don't
want to
know.
No, you don't. That's what I said. See, you don't want to know.
I keep telling you that all blacks are not the same.
You don't want to know. Nobody want to know the history of what really happened, and that's the problem. And tomorrow, if there's a revolution, you're going to be the first Negro they hang as soon as they see you. Okay? And you can't say I'm for Ferguson and I'm for the white people. They're going to hang you first.
Who's going to hang who?
They're gonna hang you.
Shit,
first.
I don't allow my grandkids to
go
back
go
up to St. Louis because they'd be the first one to get shot.
You don't go
okay.
out on the street.
Okay.
I get it. Yeah, you go out on the street talking that mess, you probably would get shot. Somebody would shoot you if they heard you talking all of that mess. Somebody probably would shoot you. Yeah, they would.
Okay, well, you know what? Guys, we're gonna have to wrap this up. Maybe
and you know one other thing, Jensen, you made mention about George Floyd. They got a school in Missouri, a high school, normally high school.
Here we go again. Here we
majority
go again.
Black. Because I built about 11 of 14 high schools in the St. Louis area. And I know this one very well.
Hold on just a second. Joe, it's 11 o'clock, and I know I told you that we were going to go from 10 to 11. If you want to continue on for a while, that's fine. If not, if you have to go, I do understand.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave.
I'm going to eat
let Joe.
Man. All this ignorance.
Let Joe what? Go ahead. Joe, you know that's the name of that slave. That's the name of that slave that played in Sankofa.
He done made me hungry listening to all of this mess.
That's
all
the
right.
name of that slave
in
Sankofa. But anyway, like I was saying, you're talking about George.
Okay.
Well, man, if you're going to go ahead on, will you? Bow on out. Nobody's
okay,
making
right.
you stay here.
Joe,
go on.
Joe,
leave.
Joe, are you gonna remain with us for a while, or you wanna?
You hungry? Go eat.
Okay, I guess Joe, she's.
I get tired of these people always. Where you find these people at, man?
Okay.
Don't ridicule me for my political stance. That don't make no damn sense. Ain't been out the country. But anyway, I was saying about Mike Brown. You had a school in St. Louis County. Normandy High School, they're on Lucas and Hutton and St. Charles Rock Road. The academic performance in the school is terrible. They got less than 5% of the student body, it's a high school, that's doing math proficiently. 14% doing reading proficiency. On the anniversary of Mike Brown's death, they took off a damn half day. Those kids need to have been in school learning. Not out marching around the damn school. That don't make no sense.
Well, Pianchi, we're going a little bit over the hour that we're going to spend today, and thank you for coming on the show. Hope everybody.
Well, I'm sorry
the show
that
today.
I'm sorry that your show went the way it was, but I tried to answer a question, then be quiet. This guy going to attack me,
right.
asking me that I live, where I live around the Mason-Dixon line. How old is he? He over 70? That's a shame. That is a shame. There is such things as old fools. Nothing like that old fool.
I know you guys had different viewpoints, Pianchi, but I thought y'all could get along better. But
the only person I've been able to get along with on your show is Don Skykes. Bring him back. Leave these other fools alone. Ain't got time to be talking about it. And guess what? His name is Joe. What's his name? What was this guy's name?
We're going to wrap it all up.
His name was Joe. That's the name of that slave in Sankofa. I'll see you, man.
All right. Take care. Tune in next week, everybody.